Hello, welcome to Something Positive for Positive People. I'm Courtney Brame. Something Positive for Positive People is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that supports people navigating herpes stigma. If you want to get a real inside look at what that looks like, join us next Thursday, May 23rd, as we celebrate the 5th year of Something Positive for Positive People as a nonprofit organization. We are going to have 4 presentations on different aspects of herpes stigma, as well as present the survey data from the 2023-2024 survey and a special surprise documentary screening from the No Shame in This Game film, which was produced by or created by Jolene Hernandez. The conference, if you can't attend it, will be recorded except for the documentary screening. Y'all, I'm really excited. I'm really excited to be doing this. And I've been saying data analysis for the conference as I'm going to be presenting the survey, but I'm really going to be just giving a descriptive statistics, like I'm describing the statistics of the survey findings. So everything from people's what they've expressed about their outbreaks, their symptoms, treatments, mental health, healthcare provider interactions, as well as the mental health side, and even things about disclosure. So attend that conference. If you are able to, you can register at www.spfpp.org/conferences. All right, now I'm going to just stop it there, and I'm going to get into the podcast episode, because I think these last few times have turned into like really long advertisements. But before I forget, please subscribe to the newsletter. When you go to the website, you'll be able to just see the pop-up that says subscribe to our newsletter. If for any reason you don't see that, go to the contact page, scroll to the bottom, and then you'll be able to just put in your name and email address, and that's where you'll see the things that I would normally post on social media. Okay, now the title of this one's Disclosing for a Lover. And when I say disclosing for a lover, I bring this up because it's come up a few times. So last night before I went to bed, I wrote an article for the Pornhub Sexual Wellness Center on the perspective of a person who might be non-monogamous, who's with someone who has herpes, and they also have other partners. Now, do you think that person has to disclose their status of their partner, even if they test negative and have not had symptoms? Yes or no? Right? So just imagine you're in a relationship, right? You have herpes, you have a partner who to date does not have herpes, right? They want to go out with somebody, they're wanting to have sex with that person. And the question is, do you think that that person needs to say that they're having sex with someone who has herpes? You. So this question came up again today. I had a one-on-one support call, which if you are someone who needs a call, if you have issues with disclosing or navigating your stigma, your status, please don't hesitate to reach out. I offer those on a donation basis. You just make a donation, and when it comes through, we set up the call. Simple as that. But today, that came up in conversation with someone who is dating someone who's non-monogamous, and I don't need to tell that whole story, because we had a 3-hour conversation. Like, I talked to her while I was driving to the gym. When I couldn't find a spot, I drove to another gym. I took my pre-workout, I did my workout, and we stayed on the phone up until I needed to ask the people at the register how I go about signing up. And the point of this, me bringing that conversation up, is because, you know, that came up again. Like, how would someone feel about their partner not disclosing that they're having sex with someone who has herpes? And part of that, there's this itty bitty teeny teeny tiny part that makes me think that the person who has herpes may want for their partner who might not have herpes to disclose to anyone that they're gonna have sex with, almost to sort of share that burden, share the weight of the diagnosis of their status, right? Because if I have to disclose and people are less likely to want to have sex with me, right? Like, what you know, if you're having sex with me just because you don't have symptoms doesn't mean you haven't been exposed to the virus. And as we always say, herpes is a tricky virus. So who's to say that you don't have symptoms, or like you're not someone who has the virus, you know, living in you? You just haven't had an expression of it yet, meaning you could potentially still pass it on, right? So we don't have any solid science on that. Like, my whole thing is, you know, once you have an outbreak or once you have symptoms, then you know. But before that, you just don't know. And it's not fair for everybody in the world to be like, hey, I might have herpes. You okay with that? If they don't know their status. But I mean, essentially, as the person who's dating someone who has herpes and you know this, you might have a little bit of a responsibility to give whoever else you're sleeping with that choice ethically. Now, I don't see anybody asking, you know, people will ask, do you have an STI? No? Great, let's move forward. But I don't see them asking if you're seeing someone who has an STI, right? Like, how do we bring that into the conversation? And then, is it your place to even disclose on behalf of said partner? Can you do that, right? Like, how do you know that they don't want people to know? And then, you know, when you even go down that rabbit hole of thinking, you don't have to say it's this particular partner. You can just say, hey, I've had sex with someone who has herpes. I've not shown any symptoms, haven't tested positive, but I just wanted to let you know because there's a risk. And I think that what that does too is it demonstrates a level of, you know, safety, emotional and physical, you know, accountability, but emotional intelligence to, you know, offer up that, you know, if you do possibly get herpes, it could be for me, because this is a huge emotional thing. And the response that we can have to a diagnosis, I mean, as people who are listening to this podcast know, right, it can be devastating and it's shocking and it can be embarrassing. It can be a lot of different feelings all at one time. And with the exception of the people who are in a Discord relationship where, you know, the person who's negative gets it and they're like, finally, like, now that we got that out the way, it sucks, you know, to say the least. When you get diagnosed with herpes, it sucks. Over time, it doesn't suck as much. It might even become a fun, you know, thing to laugh. And when you look back on it, it may lead you to your ideal relationship. It may lead you down another path of self-discovery and healing. You know, like, we don't know. But my thought process about disclosing for a partner, I think everything really does come down to intention. Is your intention of disclosing on behalf of your partner? I can't even say that that sounds right. But if you are someone who doesn't have herpes and you're seeing someone who does have herpes and you want to see other people, then I think that I would like to be given that choice. I would like to have been given that choice. So the way to go about doing it is just leave out the details. You don't have to say who it is. If you are someone who is in a non-monogamous, you know, relationship or relationships, all you got to do is say, you know, hey, I have a partner who is HSV positive. I'm just letting you know because of how that works. You got any questions about that? So disclosing a disclosure is really like a tricky thing, right? Because how do you even respond to that? If somebody told you that they're having sex with someone who has herpes, but they don't have it, like, would you kind of wonder, why are you telling me this? Would you be thankful for them telling you this? Or would it be something that you consider to be irrelevant? Because I don't have the answer. I just know what I personally would, what I would appreciate. And I would definitely appreciate, like, being given that choice, because what is it? It always comes down to choice, right? Like, what are we choosing? What are the options that are available to us? And when we have all of the information, that's when we're able to make the best choice that we can make. I have spoken to people who are herpes positive and in non-monogamous relationships, and in these relationships, like, they've been super afraid of disclosing or telling their partners. And more often than not, what I hear is that the partners are very supportive. People may not, you know, feel in a place to reach out to new partners or to welcome in new potential partners. But the place that they are in with the partners that they have existing, like, they're all very supportive, and these relationships have not ended. I'm not going to say that that's the same case for everybody, but more often than not, you know, if you're selecting good partners, if you're making sure that these are people you're compatible with, then you'll see for yourself that that is so much more important to people than the possibility of getting herpes. Because at a certain age and a certain level of maturity, you recognize that if you're somebody who gets laid, then you might have already potentially been exposed to this and it's been okay. And you just might not have tested positive. But if you're somebody who, you know, and I don't want to like downplay or down talk anyone who might, you know, just have a genuine resistance to possibly getting herpes. But I would wonder, you know, if you really like somebody and then this became an issue, like, how would people respond to it? Because I also see like a lot of people who a person that they don't really even like going into dating, sex, relationships. I've spoken to a lot of people who regret having gotten their diagnosis because of who they got it from. Like, they don't even like the person. They have regrets about whoever it was that they slept with, you know, under the circumstances of these being consensual relationships, of course. But having regret like that, and then, you know, from there moving forward, I see people who have regret about who they disclosed to. Like, oh, I shouldn't have even told them. I should have known better. Like, this person was not for me. We wanted different things, and this is all they want. They're selfish. Or we tend to inflate the things about them that we don't really like after the rejection happens, right? But these are things that were already there, right? Like, we know if we're compatible with somebody. Go back and listen to podcast episode 299, integrative disclosure, where we go over the STARS talk and how to disclose. And if you need something more than that, we have the herpes disclosure workshop video on demand on the website. All you got to do is purchase it on the offerings page and you'll be able to watch that. I'll give you 1 week to watch the video and you'll have access to that. And yeah, it's like a class, y'all. Just take notes. Just watch that, take notes, and put that thing in practice. Put the STARS framework into practice, because you should know what makes you feel safe. You should know what turns you on. You should know your avoids. You should know what your relationship intentions are. And you should also know what your STI status is, and be in a place where you're comfortable enough to present that and ask for the other person to ask them about their STARS talk, what turns them on, what their avoids are, what their relationship intentions are. All of this, these are conversations that need to be had. And I think that the greater the compatibility, and that's where this vetting process is so important, right? Like, we should be vetting people that we want to be in a relationship. Not to say that, like, you can't hit it off with somebody really early, but some of the vetting can come from just the quality of the questions that we ask. It comes from the consistency of that person, right? Like, are they someone who does what they say they're going to do? Are they someone that you want to be with? And like, this is a little bit of a different topic of conversation, but it's relatable to compatibility. I'm seeing that a lot of the women who date men that I talk to, like, I'm seeing that there's a lot of leniency and like, the bare minimum is what's being accepted. And just because you have herpes, I really believe that y'all as women, I'm not a woman, I can't, you know, speak for this myself, but I do speak to a significantly higher number of women than men. And a lot of this is like, there's this apologeticness to your disclosures and like downplaying it and almost apologizing for having herpes, apologizing for having a desire. There's so much of this apologizing and highlighting of insecurities, whereas what I encourage y'all to do, like I really would love to see from y'all, is just to have more of this natural confidence in the kind of man that you're choosing or putting yourself in front of, right? Like, be real with yourself about what it is that you want in your man, right? Like, and I'm saying man because there are things about men that I think that people who date men don't recognize as like staples of what it means to be a man. One of those things is discipline. One of those things is consistency. Another one of those things is integrity. And I see a lot of y'all be out here messing with motherfuckers who ain't got nah one of them. Like, y'all will see this person, well, he's there. And you won't say that, but when I ask enough questions, like, that's what it comes down to. You know what you want, but you'll settle for what's there. Again, whole different conversation, but that's something that we can talk about in one of our support meetings or something. But I just feel a need to mention that because these need to be parts of accountability. And, you know, we'll say things like, oh, well, we don't vibe or we're not a fit. And the reality is, like, a lot of those people that we don't vibe with or that we don't see ourselves as a fit with, these are just people who we don't agree with. And most relationships have some type of, you know, we don't always agree, but those important things that are important traits to you to have in a man, right, they have to be linked to that discipline, consistency, integrity. And like the conversation about women wanting a man who can lead, right, that's a very popular conversation to be had. But if leadership is in fact something that you know that you need, don't let none of these sex positivity accounts or these women who are out here, you know, saying what kind of woman you need to be, tell you what kind of woman you need to be in order to get a man. And then the kind of man that you want isn't the kind of man that you would get from being the kind of woman that they're telling you to be. Don't listen to that shit, y'all. Know what you want, know the kind of partner you want, whether that be a man. Well, I'm speaking specifically to people who date men or women who date men, because that's what you're generally going to come across, is like, rather than looking exclusively at that person's attractiveness or, you know, what they got going on is important, because you want to see that discipline with the thing. You want to see the consistency. You want to see their integrity, their commitment, right? And I'm gonna let y'all in on a little secret, ladies. Men may not know what we, you know, if a woman is the one right now, but we damn sure can tell you if you're not the one. Like, we know that we can see, we can look at you, and we can go, nope, you ain't it. But we don't always know when you are it, if that makes sense. So that was a little side tangent, but it was relevant to compatibility, because if you are someone too who is monogamous, you don't need to be dating non-monogamous people, because then they have to go and tell their other partner about your status. And this is just like an added layer of a need for approval, in a sense, because if you're being vetted by someone that you're interested in being in a relationship with, or being sexual with, they have to go home and tell their partner, hey, there's this person I met that has herpes, like, how do you feel about that? And then, you know, you kind of get what they call a veto power. Then you get vetoed because the partner doesn't want you to get herpes and give them herpes and mess up their ability to go off and have sex without having to have such a conversation. Right? So again, like, knowing what we want and compatibility, it makes the rejections, if we experience them, worth it. A lot of people fear rejection so much and don't even know what they want, or won't even, they'll reject themselves before they even give another person the opportunity to say yes or no to giving them what it is that they're asking for, or what they're hoping to receive. And it's sad, and I see so much of it, y'all, and I'm really working to get the Something Positive for Positive People resources out into the hands of health professionals who they themselves are going to be able to have access to Something Positive for Positive People resources to share with people immediately. So I genuinely do believe that as this resource expands, as we continue to do these surveys, as we continue to podcast, as we reach out to medical professionals, as we offer these stigma-free trainings, these simulation experiences, and now, like, being that I moved, I'm in New Jersey now, I'm out on the East Coast, my plan is to do a lot here in New York and really expand. I found my niche, if you will. I'm a public health person. I've been putting so much time and energy into, you know, falling into the sex positivity and the kink and non-monogamy and BDSM spaces that, you know, I'm realizing that, yes, this has a place there, but it's not sexy. It's not sexy to talk about STIs. It's not sexy to talk about herpes. It's not sexy to talk about disclosure. And I'm very fortunate that people like Marla Stewart, like Steph Zapata, they give me a platform in their spaces where there are more like sexy conversations, but they loop me in because of how necessary this is. So I'm super grateful for those, and all of the other, you know, kink and fun and play spaces that invite me in to share my message, the podcast that I've been on. But what I'm seeing is that there's so much more of a need for me to, I don't want to say force myself, but like I've organically fallen through this conference. I've organically fallen into the public health sector and talking to nurses, doctors, public health professionals, mental health professionals, therapists, sex educators. These are the people who are able to put this resource in the hands of people who are newly diagnosed, who have questions about herpes, who want to talk about STIs and sexual health. And this is where we at. Like, that's what I'm doing now, y'all. All right. But bringing this whole thing back full circle, when it comes to someone dating someone who has herpes, I really personally think that you should give new people the choice, especially because of what we here know about herpes, in that it's a tricky virus. You can pass it on without having any symptoms. You can pass it on even if you wear condoms. You can pass it on even if you take medication. There is no thing that you can do to prevent transmission. The best form of defense that you'll have is taking care of your body. You want to take care of your overall health, and you'll want to also just be communicative, right? Have those hard conversations. A lot of us don't want to have that hard conversation. Hard conversation being that, hey, you know, I have herpes and this is very vulnerable for me, and I can't tell you that I would never give it to you. I was having a conversation with my girl about this earlier today, right? We had the conversation, but like she asked me how I would feel if she got herpes from me. And in my response, I started talking about like how I just hadn't really had to think about it because of her reaction to it. She's like, you know, if you got it, we got it. It don't get no better than that, right? Like when a motherfucker likes you, when they fuck with you, they fuck with you, right? It ain't no questions about it, right? And people get so caught up in whether or not they're going to find somebody, and they're not understanding that your person, your people are going to prioritize you above whatever you have going on, right? If they like you, they like you. It really ain't nothing that you can do to change that. There's nothing that they can do to change that either. So that's it. That's all there is to it, y'all. And so all that said, man, like I really hope that y'all have something to take away from this podcast episode. That's it for, you know, the topic that I wanted to discuss, which was just disclosing on behalf of a partner. Should you do it? Yeah. If you don't do it, is it a big deal? It is if the person that you are having sex with gets herpes from you. And then that becomes a whole nother thing, right? But ladies, again, if you date men, like, these things are important. Like, look at the traits. Look at the consistency. Because a lot of these red flags, like, when you look at consistency and you see that a person's inconsistent and they don't do what they say they will, and there's no, like, follow-through or commitment, they weed themselves out really quickly. But that can be a whole nother podcast episode. So Don't forget, y'all, the conference. I'm working on my slides today. I got the conference laid out. It's organized. I want to shout out WISP because they're giving us more hats. Everyone, we got about 40 hats now. So I asked people to share a social media post for the conference on their social media, whether that be on a story or a post. And I got so many people to do it, y'all. About 40-something people shared the conference on their pages. We were able to sell some more tickets. I reached out to WISP and asked about getting more hats to do a giveaway because so many people, you know, went on and shared that, which was phenomenal because now, like, almost everybody can get a hat and I don't have to, like, tell people you didn't get a hat. One thing about this herpes thing, y'all, is you get so sensitive to being rejected that you kind of get better at rejecting people, or you get better about it. So for me, like, I don't want to reject people. I just want to get more hats. So I asked WISP for more hats and I explained to them what we were doing and they were on board. So shout out to them for sponsoring the conference, for giving us more hats. You can enter the giveaway too, but by the time you listen to this, like, the giveaway will be over because I got to send these hats out or start sending them out literally tomorrow. I'm posting this episode today, Monday, May, 13th? And I'm done with it on the 14th because the conference is on the 23rd. The conference is on the 23rd, y'all. This is my first conference that I've ever organized. It's virtual. It's from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern time because I'm on the Eastern time zone now. For those who don't know, I moved from Portland, Oregon to New Jersey. I'm in northern New Jersey. I'm able to get to in New York easily. So that I can continue to run something positive for positive people, do this full time, continue to build and expand community. I have not heard back from my genital exams job, so this actually might be the only thing that I'm doing now, which, I'm more at peace than I am nervous because I get to finally say that this is the only thing I'm doing, which I'm also in yoga therapy school, which, you know, that doesn't make money. So this is the thing that I'm doing. But at some point I'll be able to offer yoga therapy. I have intake forms on the site because as I'm learning, I'm also going to be looking for people for case studies who want to take part in that. So if you're somebody who you hear this and you're curious about how yoga therapy can help you, which it's really just the science of yoga, using it to restore balance in the body. Like, oftentimes illnesses and disorders are triggered by imbalances of some sort in the body, in the gut, in the person's personality and their decision making, energetically, emotionally, mentally, physically. And yoga is a really good tool for utilizing a therapy approach to restore that balance. So I'm going to be doing that through Something Positive for Positive People. If you are a member, you get to come to the conference for free. So if you are not a member of Something Positive for Positive People yet, then you can go to spfpp.org/membership and you can register for the membership that best works for your budget, and you'll be able to attend all of our events depending on which tier you signed up for. But virtually, you get tickets to all those events, and then in person, we'll give you some type of a discount. I am looking to start up a men's herpes group and a herpes group, and I want to do different times. I want to do an evening one, and I want to do something that's like on a weekend or in the morning, to where we can have a call and people who are members. This is going to be for members only. I'm not opening it up to the public. You can pay $25 a month to have access to community, especially for everything else you'll get. You'll get access to the Letting Go Yoga Series classes. There's 20 yoga classes there. And then you'll have access to the live podcast. You'll be able to join if you got questions for the guest. You'll be able to ask the guest, or you can just sit in and listen and just be in a little community space where I'll interview the guest, and then at the end, if y'all have questions, you can ask, or if it's just me, we can just make it something that's more interactive. And Yeah, September 29th, we have our Safe Sex Expo in NYC. Jolene and I are putting that together. So this is a Something Positive for Positive People event that is co-hosted by the No Shame in His Game film. So all of your ticket purchases are tax deductible because Something Positive for Positive People is a nonprofit, and we're putting the event on. So if you go to the offerings tab, you'll be able to access that. And yeah, be on the lookout for events, y'all. The best way to stay in touch with what's happening through Something Positive is to visit our what is that thing called? Oh, join our email list. Yeah, join the email list. Yeah, so I believe that's all we got. Also, if you do win a hat, I do ask that in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month that you just post something, post what it means to live free of stigma, or what does like stigma free mean to you? I'll start this out with my own post, and I'll just post a selfie with the wisp hat on where the line's going through the word stigma, and I'll just ask people to share that, because I think that that is a really cool thing, and then share that and tag myself and wisp in there for Mental Health Awareness Month. And yeah, we'll do this thing soon, because that's what the conference is about, y'all. Sexual health is mental health. And so when we get into what that means for us, what that means for the people that we love and care about, have sex with, we doing it for them. We doing it for them and ourselves, right? Now, I'm always taking donations, especially now, because this is all I'm doing. The yoga classes, I'll be in my routine after the conference is done, y'all. So if you haven't already, please share it with your doctors, your nurses, your public health professionals. This is going to be a really good thing. It's going to be something that we're going to make an annual, or do it. Yeah, we can do it annually for sure, twice a year. There is so much information, y'all. We got enough information to cover 6 conferences at the least, if we were to go deeper into what this survey data tells us about individuals living with herpes. All right, that concludes this episode, y'all. Thank you for rocking with me. I appreciate you. And yeah, I hope that you put this in practice. Reach out to me. Let me know what you thought of this podcast. If you need a support call, just make the donation and schedule it, and then we'll be able to go from there. Till next time.